Okay, I gotta try to somehow be entertaining again.
Guys, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. But then again, you're used to me not being entertaining. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, the very unentertaining, dangerous ASMR. And we're back. What? Which begs the question, why? But we are anyway. We're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. And like I said, I'm your host, most boring woman alive. I'm drinking some wine, and I'll use that to wash down my sorrows. Not because of me being myself. I'm quite happy with that because I'm very high right now. But my sorrows over the fact that I have to read more terrible creepypastas. Actually, that's a lie. I'm not sorry at all. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm very thirsty. Thirsty for bad stories. And that duke. Okay, let's see. The next story, which is not going to be the story I read previously, unlike last time, unfortunately. I'm sorry about that. This just goes to say I'm not pretending when I say I'm high. As if you couldn't tell. And we're continuing on with a fresh story beginning this week. This is called Beyond Truth. The rating is 3.83 out of 10. The reading time is less than a minute, so. I watched the blood as it trickled across the slick wooden floor, as it began to hide under the furniture. Ooh, okay. As it began to spread and draw closer to me inch by inch. I was always a curious man. Was I wrong to peek? I thought not. Maybe I had been wrong. What good has come of this corpse that lay here before me? Yet I have no regrets. I've regretted everything. What? This is not a poem. This is just a story. I no longer wish to let myself become lost in such emotions. The deed has been done. Still, this is like if the emo kid went on and murdered somebody. No, I must have been right. Emo me, instead of writing poetry, killed a man and then was like, I'm going to write a story and be so deep. It was not wrong to peek. It was wrong to open the door as I have now. The door of knowledge has always been there, waiting for me. Who knew it could cause this? Still, I will carry on. Oh my God, can you just tell me what's going on instead of being so roundabout? What door of knowledge? Come on. Like, can you please just stop being so poetic about it, you stupid fuck? This sudden insight is confusing. I will learn to master my knowledge. The blood that has been shed by my hands is no longer relevant. I mean, to you. Way to think about your victim, you jerk. Nothing in this physical realm is relevant. Oh, he's for sure emo me. I must understand yet what is yet to be understood by any other being. Honestly, and the next thing that he / middle school me would say is like, yeah, I'm better than them. I don't want to be their friend anyway. I will be patient and carry on. I let the blood reach me. I watched it while it dried and ceased its journey across this unfamiliar place. The blood's journey was irrelevant, unlike what I must soon experience. Oh my God, I hate you, Mr. Poetry Man. I left him there to make my own journeys across these many unfamiliar places. Am I mad? Possibly. Although, I could never quite say what madness was. Fuck you, author. That story was trash. He really liked the sound of his voice. I'm going to read Eat Your Greens. It's the next story. 3.86. It sounds fun to me. I'm out of wine and I regret it already. Eat your greens. My mother always told me to eat my greens. Like most, I was a fussy and picky child and didn't want anything to do with the disgusting-looking mass of otherworldly slime that she slopped into my plate every meal. Dude, I don't think your mom is feeding you vegetables. If she's feeding you slime, not vegetables. Give me meat, give me dinner rolls, anything but that. Eat your greens so you'll grow up big and strong. If all you eat is meat and sweets, you'll just turn into an aggressive thug, she always told me. Did anyone's mom say meat and sweets, it's the gang life for you? Because, like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know meat and sweets. Why meats and sweets? It rhymes. It makes you want to eat them more. What about sweet meats, like teriyaki jerky? That shit's good as hell. Or, like, maple bacon, sweet meats? Fuck it, I'll take it. I'll be an aggressive thug. I don't give a shit. Maple bacon eating thug motherfucker. That's me. And be like, meat and sweets. I like thinking of some mom being like, you can't hang out with them. All they do is eat meats and sweets. And be like, what about Johnny? Yeah, his parents just cook meth. That'll be cool. Okay. Well, I certainly didn't want to be a thug. I was a nice person, you know. I don't know. I'm kind of doubting it. Kind of sound like a prick. Like, you call her cooking, like, otherworldly green slime, and unless she's actually feeding you, like, toxic waste, you're kind of an asshole. Or maybe she's just a shit cook, who knows. I was always polite to everyone, and always patient, too. I couldn't stand those jerks who played football and stuffed other kids into lockers. You'll just have to repay them with kindness and outlast them with patience, my mother always advised. Well, mother, I guess you were right. I will be more kind and patient than all the thugs and jerks. See? I invited the jerk over to dinner. Wasn't that nice, me mother? I'll even eat all my greens this time to make doubly sure I won't turn into a thug. I just wish that it didn't take so long for the human body to turn green. I'm getting really hungry and my dessert will soon spoil, mother. It's so stupid. Oh my god. So, let me get this straight. The story is about a kid whose mom had him eat vegetables and she said, don't eat meat and sweets lest you turn into a thug. And I won't be a thug. I was nice to everyone, even jerks. So to appease my mother, I invited the jerks over, killed them, and then I won't eat dinner until their body rots because I'm eating greens? And why are you that mad at your mom? Because she told you to... You know... Honestly, he sounds like a Karen. He sounds like a Karen. The kid was a Karen. Like, you like it now, mother? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? Calm the fuck down. You know what? If it's your problem if you let people walk all over you, stand up for yourself, but not just to the point of killing them. Like, there's a point. Like, there's this not between take everything everyone gives me until I break and turn to murder. That shouldn't be how it goes. I mean, it is way too many times for way too many people because we don't learn how to confront people because we're anxious as fuck. So then we end up going, okay, I'm not going to say anything until you're so pent up and wound up that you're like, you snap and then you kill all your bullies and you eat them as vegetables somehow. I guess he never really understood what greens were. I guess he never understood it actually meant vegetables and that the vegetables are green and not the moldy people. I don't think people turn green. Like, I've seen decaying bodies. Mostly they turn like brown and purple and shit. They don't turn green. Maybe that's why it's taking so long. Because they don't turn green, so. But okay. Here's another one that looks... I don't even understand this. It's called Some Rubies Could Use Dental Work. That title could use work because some rubies could use dental work. I don't want to put your title down. But I feel like this is going to be about somebody needing dental work and the rubies. Are they people? I don't know. Let's find out. Maybe it's not. They were on their hands and knees, staring into the large gash in the ground. They're gonna fuck it. Mallory gripped the loose gravel at the lip of the hole under his calloused fingers. Oh, the Mallorys, man. And his dust flared. Oh, and his nose flared up from the rolls of dust cascading up his snot sloshing nostrils. Snot sloshing nostrils. Ah, he's been living in a damned cramp hole. Charcoal caked their faces. Benjamin's was blacker than the canopy of darkness over the splintered out barn roof. That's blackface, you're canceled. The sky's hue shifted like a panther's fur, rolling in the shadows of fanning jungle leaves. No, it didn't. Is the sky made of oil? And Mallory nudged Benjamin with his dirt-matted shoulder again, which Benjamin ignored again. And a loose board fell from the buckled open barn ceiling again. Three agains in one sentence. It didn't happen again, but three agains. All again, comma, again, comma, again, period. I get it, again. Water had collected over its white-painted roof and soaked into its boards, eventually causing its ceiling to cave, smashing two cows dead and one pig unconscious. The floor was wet. Okay. I bet the floor was wet if the water crashed through the board to make them unconscious. I'd be more surprised if they said the floor was dry. Because then I'd be like, what happened to the water? But it seems redundant. The barn animals ignored the two men. Well, weren't they dead or unconscious? How could... Benjamin said to Mallory, "Your arms are larger." Then Mallory said, "What has that got to do with anything? Like, larger than what, though? Than a gammy leg? Yeah, we all know. Means you got more of a hulk of muscle." "Is he hitting on him?" Benjamin replied. "Logic, logic. So you creep down there." What the fuck does that even mean? What? Logic? Benjamin replied, "Logic, logic, so you creep down there." Don't speak in riddles, man. Were you the author of the last one, too? Mallory shook his head. They were staring at a pair of glowing maroon orbs moving around deep in the belly of the hole. The orbs vanished in a blink and would reappear in another. Mallory shifted his soggy knees in the mud. His soggy knees? His knees are soggy. His knees, not the pant legs. Not the knees of his pants. His knees are soggy. Are they sponges? You know what? I bet you could touch a soggy knee and you go, moist, moist. Soggy knees, ladies and gentlemen. Does he, like, wring them out in the shower at the end of the day? "What are they?" Benjamin asked. "I told you when you asked last," Mallory said. "I haven't the foggiest clue." "What do you suppose?" "I don't suppose anything." Mallory's feathered eyebrows. I'd like to think he feathered them like it's the 70s. Scrunched down, and the creases at the edges of his mouth fell into a bulldog's frown. He's half dog, half bird. Calling it now. "Supposing never got any guy anywhere. He supposed that was true." Benjamin scratched at a flaky scab stinging behind his ear. Gross. The two continued to sit there like tables. Were they sitting in a damned cramp hole? Their palms in the dirt, knees in the mud, and rears asking for a kick. Into the maw of the hole. The way this person writes. Beautiful. Benjamin scratched behind his ear again. His muddy fingers were stained mahogany, and he supposed the back of his ear probably looked something like a seeping volcano. At this moment, the scab was infected. Okay, first of all, your scab can't be infected. Okay, it has to be the actual wound that's infected, not the scab. The scab's like the dried part that falls off, right? So the scab's not infected. A scab just peels off. So it's your wound that's infected. And also, if it looks like a fucking volcano, is it erupting currently? Like fucking Mount Vesuvius going off? In which case, why are you picking at it? See a doctor. And also, your hands are dirty as fuck. They're blackened with ash. Maybe that's why you're infected. How big do you suppose it is, Mal? Benjamin asked. I told you, I don't suppose anything, Mallory snapped. Haven't you got a revolver in your truck, boy? Benjamin shook his head and said, just the roofing materials. Benjamin placed the base of his palm against the oozing scab behind his ear and squinted from its sting. He held it there for a while. Why are you so scared, Mal? He asked and glared at the dripping plastic brim of Mallory's hat. It's dark down there. I'm not risking my hide if those globes turn out to be a pair of cuddling fireflies. Why are fireflies scary? Mallory said. I guess you shouldn't either in that respect. Mallory lifted his hat for a moment and pushed his water-wrinkled fingers through his thinning hair, which was sopping with a mixture of sweat and rainwater. I hope it's mostly rainwater, because if it's sopping with sweat, fucking gross. What if they're valuable, like gems or whatever? Or whatever, Benjamin asked. Luxuries, Mallory smiled for a moment, showing a silver tooth at the corner of his mouth. And what if we let them slip when they were right at our fingertips? He shoved a hand on the front of his pants to fix the way his clothing clung to his legs. The only thing worse than death is letting good things fall into less deserving hands than your own, Mallory said. Then you're going down, Benjamin asked. In what sense, Mallory replied. Do you even understand what's happening? Because I have no fucking clue what's going on. He burped. Never mind, he quickly added. Then continue with, you know what, kid, you ask a lot of questions. That's the best way to learn, isn't it? Benjamin replied. From questions? It's the best way to learn how to dig yourself your grave. Mallory showed his teeth in a grand smile and said, bring me that nail gun in the back of the truck. You remembered to bring it, right? Benjamin did remember, and reluctantly he brought it to Mallory. It weighed at the lip of this hole, you understand, Mallory said, testing the nail gun on one of the wooden wall panels of the barn. The animals glanced over at Mallory and sighed. Oh, not this shit again. Mallory slipped down the hole and some pebbles followed him down for the first few steps of the descent. I need a drink of water for this. I have no fucking idea what's happening. They're going down a damned cramp hole now, looking for fireflies or whatever the fuck is down there. So they're dirty as hell. And they're going down a hole for question mark. We don't know why. And he's slipping into the hole. I bet he gets herpes. Everyone's been in that hole. What happened to this one? The doctor asked one of the nurses. She explained. He was found on the side of the road with his head buried in his steering wheel and the horn blaring. She knew he was staring at her tightly covered breasts. What? They were frequent clients to each other's novelties. And he was unconscious, she added. Well, of course he was unconscious, the doctor laughed and smiled a bit. So what specifically killed him? Trauma from the accident or what? Look here, the nurse said, and turned the corpse on its side. There was a large, pulsing crater on the back of his head. Sepsis. The doctor said, and his eyebrows rose. Interesting. Oh, the doctor's totally high. Yes, the nurse replied and nodded after a short, awkward moment of silence. Well, I want to take a closer look at this one, the doctor said, and gripped the side of the metal gurney. Oh, and bring me any identification or belongings this man might have had with him. And he began rolling the corpse on an almost expense-free ride. What? Almost expense-free? So they're going to charge him, but not very much. It was like only a nickel. An almost expense-free ride down a white blanketed halls of the hospital. Doctor, the nurse said. She was still following him. Aren't you interested in the other one? Other one? The doctor said. Well, wheel him in. He rotated his wrist around in an almost mocking way. Why? I'm sorry I didn't get the corpse to you fast enough, you asshat. Signaling to the nurse, hurry up. Time isn't at our disposal to waste, dear. Time isn't at our disposal to waste. So what's it at your disposal for then, Doctor? For you to use wisely? Time isn't at our disposal to waste, so I'm guessing the doctor was just doing fucking nothing, and that's his excuse to not want to help. Well, it's not at your disposal to waste. The doctor winked. You'll have to come down and see him where he is, she replied. She stuffed her hands in either of her coat pockets. The intercom blared. What? The doctor released the gurney from his grip and frowned at her. Why? Well, she said, he's sort of been divided into many, many pieces. The end. That was terrible. I don't even understand it. So none of that was happening and they were in an accident. They went down the hole and then they were actually in an accident instead. And one of them had sepsis. And the doctor was like, whoa, were they in some kind of damned cramp hole? Some rubies could use dental work. Does that even make sense? Because that was the title. Like, I'm guessing the two lights were the fucking, like, car headlights or some shit. I don't know. The next one is called Oubliette. I'm excited. Oubliette. Ooh, it's 7 minutes. I'm going to take another hit of this vape because, I don't know, man, this is going to be a long one. And I really hope it ends better than that last one because it was just, what even were those stories you've been reading? At least eat your greens, I understood the point. But I mean, he's going to wait forever for the guy to turn green. He'd have to mold, maybe, or like get moss on him or something. I think it'd have to be a really humid environment for someone to turn green. Because I'd imagine most houses wouldn't be warm enough for that. So someone would decompose normally, but you're not going to turn green during decomposition. So that just doesn't make sense, you know? But whatever, I'm guessing whoever wrote it just doesn't know much about that. Perhaps the indica kush will take us all away. I hope everybody is having the most fantastic week. As we approach 2021, I feel like 2021, knock on wood, it's not worse. That should be the theme. Please, please don't be worse. The crossing our fingers year, maybe. Ignore that sound. I command you. Okay. Our last story, Oubliette, 3.89 out of 10, 131 votes. Oubliette. Let's go. In silence, a final tranquil silence, the village of Caladane sat. Oh God, this... It's going to be some 13-year-old's fantasy story, I know it. This wasn't so remote, really. Only miles from the seat in Lincoln. Near enough to the sea for the nice fog of misty translucence. A blue light. This way the place was in the morning. What? This way the place was in the morning? Ah, thank God it was in the morning. They had back at least one of the missing villagers. What? Okay, someone has a hard time structuring sentences. The youngest, Mina. She had come home after vanishing months before. It was a miracle. St. Martin stood over this village. People thanked him for returning the child. A strange buzzing agreed. Buzz, buzz, the big bee agrees. Was there a voice that spoke from the roof of the chapel when people thanked St. Martin? It was me, a buzzy bee. There was also a miracle. Somehow the darkness was here with her, had followed Mina home. St. Martin wasn't buzzing and responding from the roof of the chapel. Mina shuddered to think of who, or rather what, it might be. Okay, so if it's not St. Martin, we have five... I'm going to go to the... To give you, like, the whole Jeopardy... I'm not inserting it because I'm lazy. Jeopardy theme. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think St. Martin... The buzzing isn't St. Martin, so what is it? Think what your guess is now. What is the buzzing plaguing Mina and this fucking church? If it's not St. Martin, is it a bee? Is it a demon? Is it a ghost? All right, you gotta think about it. Dee 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 dee. This is not my trademark music. Dee 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 dee. I don't have the copyright. Okay, so let's see. So buzzing is in St. Martin. Who could it be? They would put her back into the asylum in Lincoln. She didn't want to go back there. Medieval insane asylums of this realm were not fun. Okay, is she from another realm? Is there just how she thinks? Because I swear to God, if every time you think about something that happens to you, you add in this realm, you're an idiot. Mina stared out of her bedroom window and wondered if she should try a different god. If God was okay with that thing sitting on the roof of the chapel. Yeah, that's how religion works. You cease having faith once you're like, if God can make a big bee thing, then he's not real. I'm going to believe in another one now. I'm sorry, I'm not religious, but I'm pretty sure if that's how loosely you believe in your faith, you're not that religious to begin with. Like, you shouldn't be able to have your faith swayed because there's a weird buzzing. Like, dude, let me introduce you to fluorescent lights. It'll shake your faith so hard. Nobody could see it up there. It managed to stay well hidden from sight, but it was up there. Ne'er unrest. Oh my God, talk like a normal person. Mina knew it, and it made her tremble in fear. Ooh! There was a boy at her window, two of them. It used to be there were two boys at her window, not a boy, two of them. Is it two of the same boy? Is it a photocopied boy? There was a boy at her window, two of them, or two windows? I don't know. Boys from the village, they believed her because they had seen something awful when they stared too long at the chapel from a vantage point. They were high. Something was there that was not right. She had said so, and they had come now at dusk to ask. They had a lantern for the way home after dark. You want me to tell you what happened to me? The whole story? Mina asked them. Her audience said nothing. They had sneaked out from their cottages with that thing out there, needing to know. The risk was worth finding out what it was. It was talking to people and had done so for weeks now. Ever since Mina had first returned, strange things had happened. Now that she was back from the asylum, the strangeness had escalated. Was it dangerous? No, that's me. My tale is simple. Mina told them her story. She wasn't a good storyteller, but her story was true, and true stories are always good. Incorrect? That is a horrible statement. True stories are always good? All right, buddy. Have you ever listened to family stories of shit that actually happened in your family, but it's so boring you want to claw your fucking eyes out? Yeah, we all have. If a true story was always good, then wouldn't nonfiction publishers publish everything because they're always good? That's what I thought. I call boo on this narrative. In fact, your story's rated below 4. Shouldn't that suggest your story's not very good? Well, must not be true, then. In terror, the boys fled home with their lantern blazing an orb of light. Mina stared again at the chapel of the village, a vigil in the silence. In night ever-changing. Oh, shit, what is that? Oh, yeah, in night ever-changing. The moon and stars swung round and round, but it seemed slow to man, not to others. Not to them. Oh, my God. The moon and stars swung round and round. I've got this. I swear they're all written by me in middle school. It's just cringe. She had gathered berries. Green, blue, old berries. Oh, tell them the guy who's eating his greens. Very sweet ones that grew in this primordial vale still. Some things were left over here, next to a frontier forest. The village, you know, frontier forest sounds like a really shitty bunch of apartments. The village itself was by no means remote. The whole world was simply locked amid the domains of man. encroaching where even his own foot hath not fallen. The whole world was locked amid the domains of man, encroaching where man's foot hasn't fallen. What the fuck does that even mean? And it was a simpler, more unexplored region of a slightly quaint realm. So, it's saying that the world encroached where man hasn't fallen. Why are you suggesting the world encroaches upon man? Man encroaches upon the world. Your sentence makes no sense. You can't encroach upon man. Man encroaches upon the world's spaces, not the other way around. It would suggest man was here first and the world sprung among him. Okay. And it was a simpler modern sport. Therefore, unicorns, white, sleek shades of the forest did remain. Those that were quiet enough here did see them. Okay, so if you're quiet in the realm, you can see the unicorns. A gentle woodsman, unarmed, might see one. Unarmed was important, for a bow they knew, despite their untamed and innocent corner, surrounded on all sides by man's farmlands and castles. They were intelligent, could speak if they chose. They lived very long lives, an old species of the world, as old as time. Antediluvian. Or in this case, just a girl picking berries. Fuck you. She tried to follow it into the dark bowers of its domain. The cool and silent forest. The trees here were ancient and untouched. She was already in the forest before, but a much younger forest where people had come and gone for thousands of years, and there were berries and game. The place was ignored. Nobody wanted to come here or had the courage. But, like, why? There's unicorns? Like, the world was still too young for this place. Even now in the medieval, what does that even mean? Go back. The voice of the creature was not human. I'm sorry, it was a whisper, and it was feminine. But it was not a human voice. The unicorn stared at her, its presence like a cold splash of water, so surprising. It was not entirely pleasant to behold, however. Oh, it's an ugly unicorn? Way to judge it. Time and destruction had tainted it, and its single horn was a twisted alicorn. Oh my god. Is this person like My Little Pony? I feel like they do. Spiraling and straight like a sword from its forehead. Nope. No, it wasn't. Its shadow was a light gray, as if it didn't entirely catch the light. Dust motes sparked around it. Unable to touch it, and its eyes glimmered discreetly as it shimmered like a white veil and then was gone. Oh, and was then gone. Sorry. Unicorn, Mina said after it. She ate some berries and turned to go back, as it had commanded. It was already too late. She wasn't sure how fast or cruel or from what direction, but a blow struck her and flung her against a tree. Not a happy camper, this denizen of the domain, huge and brown, a flat face and intelligent eyes. It could eat her, but it witnessed the unicorn interacting with this human and chose to do no further harm. She might die, but it was not going to try any harder to kill her. It scooped up the basket of berries to take with it. Was it a bear? I mean, just say a bear. Holding in its claws, the straight it lumbered away, growling almost poetically. Bear-like and massive. If it's bear-like, then what the fuck is it? It's not a bear. Can we just call Mina Mary Sue? Mary Sue's eyes opened. She heard none of the calls from the villagers as they searched for her. Old Seth the Miller found her, and instead of returning her, he took her body home, thinking she was dead. What? But she just spoke. Mary Sue was not dead. He didn't have the heart to kill her, so we left her laying in a pit in the cellar of his cottage. That isn't any better. Then he resumed his normal functions around the village the next day, telling nobody he had found her. Then old Seth kept Mary Sue in his cellar, and each night he would come to see if she had died of starvation yet. He grew impatient. One day he brought in the body of Brenner, who, dragging the man down the steps. From the pit, Mary Sue could see part of this action. Then she heard the most awful noises, grunting and slurping, squishing noises. She's totally banging him. Or he's banging him. I don't know, whoever. Something very terrible was happening, or perfectly fucking sexy. One day, a chair fell into the pit from above for no apparent reason. It was chair-throwing day. She started to climb out, then heard all these terrible noises. The same gurgling sounds, all squishing and bumping the table that was with the chair she had used to climb out. Mary Sue wasn't afraid. What could it be? She peeked up and stopped making noise. She wasn't sure what she was looking at. She gathered her courage and climbed the rest of the way out of the pit. And she crawled weakly toward it to see what it was. Vague dread was in her heart of what it might be, so strange as it sat there on the floor, pulsing and throbbing evilly. It was a cock, a very excited one. A moment of severe terror gripped Mary Sue, and she was speaking of what it might be before it tore her mind apart in such awfulness as what she was seeing. She said, "Eye of the pit, as witness to this. As they eat the body as a larva, then a pupae, transparent, hard, translucent shell, dry, hard case, with the glowing greenish, yellow, golden brown crust, soupy mess, skeleton bones inside it grows this huge, gross cocoon." That's what's in his... Oh, God, why? Okay, I'm trying to get... But she had one sentence that she said for my tour part as the longest nonsensical rambling trash. I gotta read it again. Hold on. Why did you do this to me? A sentence is tearing me apart, Lisa. All right, here we go. I can do this. Got it. Eye of the pit as witness to this. Here's the sentence, you guys. As they eat the body as a larva, then a pupae, transparent, hard, translucent shell, dry, hard case, but with the glowing greenish, yellow, golden, brown crust, soupy mess, skeleton bones inside it grows to this huge, gross cocoon. Yes. But her mind did break after that. Mine too. For she was running wildly around the cellar of the cottage when old Seth came home. And it began to hatch. Both humans watched in fascination as it hatched into a red wasp with white stripes. It stretched its wings. Why didn't it kill it? I'd kill it. Flicking embryonic substances. Ew, that's not hygienic. And then hovering. Not your day. Not your day. It spoke to the man and the girl. It looked at them and it could speak. Yeah, we know it just did. Its evil insect face had great vicious mandibles and merciless wet compound eyes that dripped a black syrup. It dripped syrup? Is it good on pancakes? Black eye syrup? Crazy wasp syrup pancakes. Is it like blackberries? That'd be good. You used to say that to me, the girl said, laughing, because it's got the double O's, you know. Quiet, the man ordered. He felt for his key ring. They were all locked down here in his cellar. He then went for his dagger, but the wasp was quicker. It tackled him, and with an insect appendage that looked oddly like a human hand. What is it, then? What is it if it's not a hand? An insect hand? Do the wasp have hands? Can I shake its hands? Can I high-five this wasp? Can the wasp give a man a hand job? How much does it charge? Can he drip the syrup on your dick, too? I'm sorry, my mind is sick. Please don't listen to me. Leave the insects alone. It took the dagger and stung him with it in the shulder. The acid! Use the acid! The man told the girl. She got a beaker of acid from the table with the cutting implements. She threw it onto the creature, burning it. Some of the acid got onto the man. That was fun! Mary Sue laughed. The stream of corrosive reaction was a cloud around its thorax. What? Why won't you just die? Why won't you just die already? The creature wondered in repetition of what the man had frequently said to the girl. She walked over and took his key ring. Goodbye, Mary Sue squinted playfully at him. Help me, Seth begged. Nobody can hear you. Nobody can hear you down here, the creature reminded him. Then it stung him. So it's like her thoughts are upset from what he did in the past, made a wet wasp thing to kill him. Oh, it's so dumb. Mary Sue started to walk past the pit. Seth grabbed her ankle as the venom coursed through him. Mary Sue swung down to the pit, tripped. She still held the keys. Seth had a death grip on her ankle and held her there, dangling face first. His arm hung down in the darkness of the pit. Above, the creature had paralyzed him, but he was not dead, and he could still feel its attacks. The wasp started to dissect him with the dagger, and it was buzzing evilly as it did this. Okay. Then when it found the organs, it started to chew with its mandibles all violently. Thanks for letting me know the chewing was violent. As it ate him alive, the body jerked like a steak, getting sawed by a dull steak knife. Okay. Mary Sue felt the biting and pulling and tugging and jerking as the arm swung and thrust her into the dark. Would the hand release her ankle? It did, and she plummeted face first into the pit, and then she knew no more. When she awoke, she felt the cake of dried blood on her crown. She climbed free of the muddy pit and found that blood from the body had dried on her head. She had no mark, but the fall had restored her by taking her recent memories. That's not a restoration, you have brain damage. She ignored the body in the dark, too disoriented to really note it. Some part of her was unconcerned for old Seth for some reason. Well, you just suffered brain damage to the point where you don't know what fucking happened recently. You need to see a doctor. Curiously, the wooden door had gotten smashed through with tools found around the basement. Smart enough to use tools, but not to find the keys? Maybe it was just having too much fun smashing stuff. Whatever it was, parts from memories, it made no sense. Flashes and feelings, starvation, weakness, suffering, and then something terrible down there in the darkness. Mary Sue walked home. So, there you go. That was dumb as hell. In St. Martin, there was a giant buzzing wasp that freed Mary Sue from her captor at the end. I wasn't scared at all. Hopefully this story will be a little better. I'm going to read one more. This one has a better title of The Med Student. By better, I mean it should just be straightforward. I'm tired of this bullshit. And also, the best thing was the world encroaching on man. That was probably my favorite part. Next time people are like, yeah, but what about, like, climate change? I'm like, but what about the world encroaching on my rights to destroy it? Okay, The Med Student, it's got 3.91 out of 10. Less than a minute reading time. Maybe it'll be one more than one. The Med Student. An unpopular young med student had been particular... I'm not a med student, but I feel called out. In particular, annoying one day, and some of her classmates decided to play a trick on her. They snuck into her room after she'd gone to bed and placed an amputated arm into bed with her. Next day, they anxiously awaited a reaction, but got none. Eventually, they went to check up on her and found her sitting in the bed, moaning and gurgling as she gnawed on the arm. That's it. What? So, was she unpopular because she was a zombie? Because that kind of makes sense. I mean, I don't like to think that, I like to, you know, segregate myself from other people, but... Zombie, you know, zombie friend. I can't really see clubbing very well, especially if, like, they just start attacking everybody, chewing their arm. Oh, I'm not reading this shit. It's called A Summer of Wolves, and the estimated reading time is 87 minutes. You can fuck right off. 87 minutes? No, thank you. No. 87 minutes for reading time? It takes me, like, 30 to get through a 7-minute story. Okay, last we're going to read is Ternia, T-E-R-N-I-A, Ternia. I'm going to say Ternia because that's probably how it's spelled, Ternia. 3.92 out of 10, Ternia. This is a simple series of journal entries for my own sanity to be held together. I just like written proof that this is actually happening to me, you know? Okay, to start, I'm 25. I've been living with an amazing girl for the last couple of months in a simple loft apartment. And I have a simple job. As a photographer for a magazine, is it a simple magazine? I have seen a new tenant in our little apartment building, but that hasn't really bothered me. Well, it shouldn't. You live in an apartment building. There's a ton of people you probably don't know. What does bother me is the fact that I've seen things all around my building, and I've even seen them in my apartment. They aren't normal things you'd hear about. Like, they seem to be aware of their surroundings. What? Like normal? What? Like what other normal things I hear about that aren't aware of their surroundings? I've seen them studying people. It might sound crazy, but they watch people's interactions with one another. No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound crazy. I do that with people, too. It's called looking at people. They don't see me watching them, at least I don't think. These things aren't animals or statues or paintings. They are just there. Why, you're great at describing things. They have bodies. Me, too. And small limbs. Heads, but nothing but eyes. So, just eyes in your head. They sit in darkness watching and studying us. I don't think the other tenants know about them. I've told my girlfriend about my sightings, but she doesn't believe me. Yes, because you're crazy. September 26, 2011. I've tried to catch them on tape or in a photo, but they seem to be too fast for me. Yet you're crazy. You're crazy. I even tried setting up an overnight video of the room, but still nothing. The more I think about it, the more it seems like I'm just crazy. I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah. I want people to believe my stories of them, but they never listen. I think I'll try to catch one soon. October 17th, 2011. I did it! I fucking did it! I caught the sneaky fuck. He was watching my girlfriend eat breakfast when I walked to the kitchen this morning. I sneaked up on him and caught him. He bit me, though, little bastard. But I've got him in a small container under my bed. He's been on there for about 2 or so hours in silence. All right again. I hope he didn't need oxygen. October 29th, 2011. He's gone. He is gone. I don't know how, but he got out. And he's somewhere in here with me. I mean, if it's like a Ziploc, he probably just opened it because he's a fucking intelligent creature. I locked every window and every door. I told my girlfriend to stay at her friend's house for a couple days, and after some convincing, she agreed because I'm fucking crazy and she's probably terrified I'm going to kill her. A little while ago, the bite mark, which is more of a scar now, began hurting. It's more of an aggravation than anything. It's almost midnight now, and I still haven't found him. I think I'm going to lay down. I feel a little woozy. November 27th, 2011. My girlfriend broke up with me because I wouldn't let her in. I told her it's for her own good, but she refused to listen to reason. He's still loose. I haven't found him yet. My arm is entirely swollen, now in pink, nearest the bite. See a fucking doctor. Oh, wait, he can't. It's America. Occasionally, I can hear laughter in the dark corners of my bedroom at night. I think it's him mocking me. I think I'm going to get off. Oh, yeah, me too, buddy, as soon as I'm done recording. December 24th, 2011. Oh, shit. Ads, get out of here. My arm is purple now. Really hurts, and I think I might die. Dude, it's been months. You deserve it. I just want to find him. That's all I have left now. I want him. I want my old life back. I was 25 and successful. Isn't he still, though? With a beautiful girl and a nice home. I don't want to die. I want to go back. Wait. There he is. He's smiling. He know what he has done, and he is happy. I feel tired now, so I bid you a final farewell. Just please share this with whomever you meet. What the fucking fuck? So, he went to an apartment building, and he caught an alien, and he put it under his bed, and why is he saying, like, I was 25 with a girlfriend? It was, like, 3 months before he died. So he's still 25. He just lost his girlfriend. And he never had a nice place because he lived in an apartment building that was getting watched by tiny alien people with heads and eyes and nothing else. And then why is that Ternia? I'm really confused. I don't know what that is. Okay, I'm going to read one last one. This is the last one. This is one last one. It's called Hotel California. It's last in a minute. 3.97 out of 10. They say that somewhere in Western America, some say Utah, others say the California coast, there's a small motel on the side of the road. When you go inside, it's decorated in a very common hotel attire, with the paneling and old-fashioned keylock doors. The thing is, there's a room in there for everybody. Everybody has a reservation for exactly when they show up, and the number of rooms available is always one more than the number of people there. One person to a room, that is the rule. What? No, you can't make that rule. Fuck you. It said that the song Hotel California is based off this motel, that you can leave this particular motel. I wouldn't advise looking at a mirror for at least a month after doing so, though. How is that scary? Fuck that story. So it's a hotel that's, like, really convenient and you also can leave. Oh, I'm scared. Do they also leave mints on your pillow and, like, make you feel really good after a long night's sleep? Terrible. Okay, well, I hope you guys were thoroughly relaxed by that last fucking advertisement for the Hotel California, except for the fact that you weirdly can't sleep with anyone else in your room. Sounds pretty great otherwise. I hope you guys enjoyed this Drunk and Dangerous. So did I, as weird as it fucking was. Hopefully, I will see you back here again next week with me. And until then, I will talk to you later. Bye, guys. Mwah!